Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Here we go. Good morning, Mark, live from Ireland. How are you, mate?
I'm doing good. I'm here on a cold November morning with the only thing keeping me warm is my love for sports.
What's the temperature there, mate?
I couldn't tell you exactly. Right. It's a temperature where I want to wear two or three coats at. Does that kind
of
temperature?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to get out of bed this morning because our house is cold. But I know you're not going to have any kind of, you're not going to feel sorry for me living in Spain. But right, let's move on to some sports over the weekend. I did sit and watch, can we just mention, first of all, Derby County, 5 wins on the trot. I think it's the most informed team in the Championship right now. And I know you probably, with all the other things you have to watch, I wasn't expecting you to watch the Derby match. But just well done, Derby, anyway. Mark, I'm not sure what to do. We've never been in this position before where we win matches all the time.
Well, listen, the important thing is to remember that. Well, I saw a funny stat the other day that the top 9 teams in the Championship, and none of them, I think Hull was the last one there in the Premiership in 2018.
Yes.
So we're looking at possibly 3 teams next year who haven't been in the Premier League in a lot of years. So
that's
it's a very exciting time right now.
It's great for football as well, isn't it? It really is. So now I did watch the Man City, they crushed Liverpool. Liverpool first off. Mm-hmm. I've got to say, didn't look like they were bothered about playing. And I never normally say that because I think it's an easy option to blame the players like that. But especially on that, I think the second goal, I think it was, and it came off Van Dijk, and he just stood there. He didn't look like he was ready to defend it. It looked like he'd just given up.
The City looked like they were possibly playing, at least that's what the final result indicated, definitely a mid-table to relegation candidate team, because there was just really no fight back from Liverpool, and now it's allowed City to move into second place, 4 points behind Arsenal.
Yeah.
So, really, they look dominant. You know, Haaland, Gonzalez, and Doku, who we talked about Haaland. I really appreciate Doku. I think he's a really important part of that team and how Pep wants to play.
He just goes past players like they're not there.
Yeah, no, he's absolutely fantastic and such a steal as well from Belgium.
I think, is he one of the most underrated players in the Premier League? Because, you know, he's not as well known as some of the other players. Of course, Haaland, of course, and others in other teams, but he just kind of goes under the radar a little bit, but he is awesome.
Oh, yeah, when you talk about City, he's not one of the players that you mentioned, which sort of is a shame because he's constantly one of their best performers.
Yeah, absolutely. So Man City, of course, it's Pep Guardiola's 1,000th game in his managerial career. Spent a lot of that time at Man City, of course, and Barcelona and other places, let me know. Still just a great manager. And, yeah, he has his wobbles. He has his off-form moments for City. We've all seen the last couple of years City not being as they were maybe 5 years ago. But they look good at the moment, don't they?
They do, and it's a real title race igniting and coming into Christmas and January. It's going to be really exciting because Liverpool have slipped. I think they're behind Man United now. I think they're 8th or 9th. I think they're 8th, and Arsenal's lead a little bit vulnerable versus Sunderland. That was that was a bit of, we'll talk about that later. So City are showing that it mightn't have been our best start to the season, but it still has every chance of being a title season for them.
Yeah, Arsenal's look like, you know, they're just going to see the match out, but Sunderland had other views on that, and they don't give them when to stop, do they, Sunderland? They just have a go at you, and they're brilliant.
Yeah, I remember watching a Netflix documentary a couple of years ago called Sunderland Till I Die, and I was sort of endeared by a lot of the fans' attitude from watching that while it was on Netflix. And you really have to give Sunderland their flowers. It's very early in the season, so we can't say, you know, oh, it's, you know, it's impressive. But as far as relegation or promoted teams go, 4th place coming into Christmas is very impressive, considering that for the last 3 years, all 3 teams that have went up have went down. And this year looks to be doing the exact opposite of that. So it's very exciting. I'm a very big fan of Sunderland, how they're playing, how much money they invested on a team over 100 million, which is unprecedented. You just don't see teams doing that, particularly teams from the Championship. So it was really impressive. You have to give all the credit to Sunderland on that. Mikel Arteta had a very funny analogy for the end of the match. He described the match as a pain in my tummy. So I just found that entertaining. But it showed that Arsenal still have weak spots. And this is what champions need to do. Champions need to respond under pressure. So if Arsenal want to be considered as one of the great teams, this is just a challenge they're going to have to fight back with in the next match.
Absolutely, yeah, really. And what about West Ham versus Burnley?
Yeah, I thought this was interesting because now Nuno's been there for, I don't think he's as long at West Ham as Ange was at Forest. But he's there a little while now, so we can start judging him a little bit more. And he's had West Ham now 2 wins in a row. It was a match that I think it was Burnley's to lose for a lot of it. But they managed to snag a point, and that brings them to, I believe, 9 or 10 points now, which just puts them on the threshold behind Burnley in the table. So they're slowly climbing out of the relegation zone and slowly finding form, which is why Nuno was brought in, and I'm sure the West Ham fans are very happy. It was a chaotic finish, but you know what matters is winning.
Absolutely.
And Nuno made subs at the right time, which just changed the game.
Man United against Tottenham Hotspur, that was a match and a half, wasn't it?
You could definitely call it that. Yeah, Richarlison celebrating once again before the end of the match, thinking that it was won. But definitely United fought to avoid defeat there, really. Crafting a draw from the jaws of victory. But I think it was once again Spurs kind of failures in defence and a few missed chances really let United get the extra point here.
Do you think that speaks well of United? Because I think maybe, you know, even 4 or 5 weeks ago, that would have been a 2-1 to Tottenham. They wouldn't have fought back in the way they did.
Yeah, I think this United team has a lot more spirit, and I think that was indicated from the matches that they've won. Not won, but definitely got something out of a lot of matches in this season in the last 20 minutes, which is sort of, it's almost bringing you back to the Fergie time era. Remember when everything used to happen in the last 5 or 10 minutes?
Solskjaer would score somebody, yeah.
Yeah, and it reminds me a lot of that about that, but compared to maybe the first 5 games of the season, I think this United team has the belief that even if they are down with 10 minutes to go, they can get something out of it. And especially that Liverpool match, just the mentality after that, shows that these players actually believe in themselves, which is not something we could probably say after the Fulham match or, you know, early matches in the season. So it's good to see.
Mark, I don't know who is HAPPY, Chelsea or Wolves, tell us more.
Well, definitely Chelsea, from the way they've been performing. And they managed to get 3-0 over Wolves, which maybe mightn't be that impressive to most people, considering Wolves are currently 2 points in the league and winless. But it was still a defiant showing from Chelsea, which is what you need. I think there's been a lot of public, coverage about Chelsea's losses. But, you know, quietly, they're performing quite well.
Yeah,
they're in third.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, goals from Gusto, Pedro and Neto kind of really proved that this wasn't really a match that Chelsea had to worry about, because Wolves failed to register a shot on target. So it was really never
it's
a question what was going to happen.
No,
you can't win if you don't... Don't try to take a chance at goal.
There's always these stupid rumours going around because Derby have won 5 matches. So suddenly John Eustace has been linked with the Wolves job because he is from the West Midlands. He lives down that way, and it said he'll save him fuel on his car. But anyway, onward and upward. So we're looking for, what about Brentford versus Newcastle? Then we'll have a look at some other sports.
Well, for just for any Derby County fans who might be worried, My personal prediction is I don't think Wolves are going to go after anybody they think might let the team perform well. I think they're going to go on someone who's probably a safe bet, who might have already been with the team. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem like a board that wants to
take
be
risks.
Very ambitious this year.
Yeah.
I think they've accepted what's going to happen. But the Brentford-Newcastle game, terrific game. And, you know, once again, it emphasizes just how well Brentford have been doing with Keith Andrews. A lot of people even some Brentford fans would have been, to put it nicely, suspicious that they might be able to stay up after losing two players and now bringing in the person who's never had a professional management job besides coaching. But I think if you told most Brentford fans that they'd be above Newcastle, Forest and West Ham and Burnley and Fulham, and at the start of the year, they'd be pretty happy. They're currently sitting just behind Brighton and Palace, and it looks to be a good season for them. Once again, Newcastle kind of struggling to win away, which is a serious concern, considering they're also in the Champions League. So not only are they, I think, 14th now, they also have to worry about the Champions League games and that all in their schedule. So it's not going to be an easy season.
And their arch rival Sunderland doing very well. Talking about Sunderland, Julie messages in from Eastbourne. Sunderland were excellent. My voice still hasn't come back after shouting at the telly for 100 odd minutes on Saturday afternoon. I know that feeling, Julie. And then what happened to Lewis on Sunday as well? And also, she's gone for Lying Eyes, songs about lying. Right, okay. So let's talk about the Brazilian Grand Prix. What's going on?
Yeah, well, it's a good season if you were a Lando fan, I guess.
Yeah, but, he's doing all right, isn't he? Yeah,
he's doing very good right now. I mean, the most important part of the season, he is pulling the results when he needs them and as they come. It wasn't such a great weekend for his teammate Piastri, who picked up a penalty and ended up in fifth and crashed out of the sprint race. But it's exactly what Lando wants. Rookie Kimi Antonelli had a very good race. He had a second place, which is equals his best finish, I think. It was his career best. Sorry, his third place was his previous best, which is extremely good. I think now he is the rookie with the most points since Lewis Hamilton. And then Max Verstappen, he started in the pit lane. I believe he was 17th, 18th. He managed to finish third, which just about keeps his title hopes alive. And then I guess Hamilton as well crashed. Yeah. I just realized that.
Yeah.
There was a serious crash at Bortoleto, which was the one that I was more focused on in the sprint race. It looked like very nasty crash, but thankfully he's okay. But the main, I guess, question of this weekend was McLaren and Verstappen, and both did fairly well besides Piastri. But McLaren's win sort of underscores how they've performed all season, and it's picking up at the right time with three races to go now.
When does the season
kind of winning?
We've got three races to go. When does the season restart again next year?
I think it's about 4 months after
the
season.
Putting you on the spot there. Sorry, Mark. Three weeks ago, and it's been a great year, actually. I mean, I know obviously there'll be Lewis Hamilton fans out there who are not happy about what's happened this year for him, not so good. But nonetheless, I think I've enjoyed watching it when I have. I haven't watched it every time, but it just seems to be a bit more competition in there. I've enjoyed it this year.
Yeah, I don't think Hamilton or Hamilton fans have to be too disappointed with how his season has went. There's been lots of positives among the negatives, and you got to remember next year there's a new set of regulations, so we could possibly be seeing a totally different table next year.
Yeah.
So maybe the reason that Ferrari hasn't performed this season is because a lot of their focus has been on next season, and that's sort of what you want to hope. It was the same thing with the Red Bull fans. You know, they came out very lackluster. Same with the Williams fans, who've seen a downturn in performance. And James Vowles has come out and openly said since the start of the season, listen, we started very high, but it's just going to get a lot lower because we are focused on the 2026 reg, because that's where everyone's focus needs to be. What's good about winning a race this season when you're mid-table next season? So it's always looking forward, and I think that's what Ferrari fans need to remember.
Okay, three more races to go. It's not over yet. Right, golf. If you do one more minute on this, if that's okay, Mark. Aaron Ray wins the Abu Dhabi as McIlroy leaves comeback too late, and Fleetwood is edged out in the playoffs.
Yeah, McIlroy always has had a bit of a timing issue, but he had a surreal performance, and it was just unfortunate it came a little bit too late as Fleetwood and Ray went to the playoffs with Ray managing to claim the win in Abu Dhabi. So it was a showcase of European talent. That's how we'll sum up the Abu Dhabi championship.
Brilliant. Thank you. All in 1 minute, like you said, on the can. So well done, Mark. Have a lovely, lovely week, mate. We'll speak to you next week.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.